SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan with Mike Prada from SB Nation DC, the editor, and of course Bullets Forever. I'm Scott Jackson, and right now our pleasure. I'm excited about this. One of the greatest things the site has done, besides, well, let me write once a week, Mike, is bring on our next guest, TJ Doyle, who's talking CAA on the site, George the blog. And we need more CAA propaganda out there, especially when it's about my alma mater, Old Dominion. Oh. And TJ, thanks for coming on the show. How you doing?
Well, Mike, Scott, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be your propaganda minister when it comes to the colonial.
Hey, come on. There's also, George, you know, we really want you on first and foremost because while Old Dominion won the CAA,
that's right.
The team that, okay, we get it. They won the CAA. The team that is most, you know, connected to this region is George Mason, the regular season champion. And they didn't win the CAA. They got killed by VCU. And now, as soon as they lost, you have all these people wondering, well, how good are they really? Forgetting that they won 16 games in a row. How much of a chance do you give George Mason of making a run in the NCAA tournament?
I think it's a bit of a joke that they're getting crushed for what have they done, especially this year out of all years. They went 16-2 in a conference that, by any standard, especially Ken Pomeroy's, is a extremely difficult conference this year. They went 16-2. They won 25 games. This team has gone on the road to beat Northern Iowa in the Bracket Busters. They can play with anyone, and I look forward to showing up some of the folks on Twitter when they win their first round game.
But yeah, can they win a second round game? Because, see, here, it depends on their seed, right? I mean, what happens if they get, like, a 10 seed?
Well, I mean, right now, people are looking at both ODU and Mason as an 8-9. So that first-round game, we're going to get some chump big school, such as a Villanova, who has fallen apart. So I think the 8-9 wins for George Mason and ODU will happen. The question is, who's the 1, or if they become a 7, who's the 2? I would love to see somebody play BYU, one of our CAA schools here. I think ODU would beat BYU as a 2 seed, and I think that would be fantastic.
Well, as you know, if the committee really, really, really had their way, they would make George Mason and ODU play one another in the first week, in the first round game, just to get them out of the way, as they've done in the past with mid-majors matching them up early, as ODU had to play Butler a few years back early. But I don't think they're going to pull that off this year, but it is amazing.
Well, they can't, though, right? They can't play
each other. No, you can't.
But they could. I guess you could say they could play a Butler again.
Right, they could play a team like a Butler, which would be awful. But, I mean, you've seen this. Since George Mason's run, the mid-majors, they've kind of made sure they could kill each other off early in this tournament and get them out of the way. And it's kind of interesting how that's happened. But, I mean, again, going back to your point about Mason, I was stunned. Seth Davis, of all people, who I have a lot of respect for, came out immediately questioning their credentials. He and Greg Anthony asking who they've beaten on the road. I mean, there is a bunch of teams that are in the running for a 1 seed right now we could ask that about, including the Duke Blue Devils, Seth's alma mater.
And, well, we all know that the Duke's most high-profile road game didn't turn out how they wanted at Madison Square Garden. So, yes, to your point exactly.
And I was at that game. That's actually it was a Duke home game for the most part. But, you know, the Colonials finally getting the respect and due. I know that you were on the bandwagon for a VCU, win in the championship to get that three-team thing going. Do you think VCU, though, has a chance with what they did early with wins over teams like UCLA to get in as in at large?
We have been trumpeting that, and what's killing us is last night. What happened out west last night, I think poor VCU last in the evening just happened, basically got bumped by, you know, UCLA absolutely choking away those games in the Pac-10. Yeah. And the West Coast Conference, I mean, I think VCU, as much as I'd like to say three bids for the CAA, I think that dream might be done.
Well, that's unfortunate. But so there probably will be two teams then. There'll probably be Old Dominion, the conference tournament champions, and there'll probably be George Mason, the regular season champions. Which team do you think is better of the two?
Well, I'm not kissing up to your co-host, but I do think ODU is better of the two. I think ODU is made for this tournament in terms of the style they play. That zone they have is difficult for anybody. We've seen that over the years with Syracuse. They are just tenacious, grinded out. They remind me of the old Wisconsin teams that are going to beat teams 48-44. They'll get all the boards, and they'll score when they have to, which is basically after 30 seconds of the shot clock. I think they're going to be tough, and I think they're going to grind. And I really, despite writing that and just wanting it to happen, I really do think they're a Sweet 16 team.
That I hope you're 100% right. That'd be great. Of course, last year they beat Notre Dame in the first round and went toe-to-toe with Baylor before losing. So, I mean, it's a team that's come back that's been battle-tested. Obviously, they don't have Finney on the team anymore, but pretty much the same group and the same mustache on the bench, too. A lot of people think it's Blaine Taylor's mustache, TJ, that is the difference for them. Do you think that could be part of it?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's worth several points a game just from the sheer distraction factor.
Yeah, I do too. Here with TJ Doyle here on 106.7 The Fan, SB Nation Radio. TJ with SB Nation DC, as well as George the Blog, with Scott Jackson and Mike Prada.
And just, you know, I know we talked about these guys, these teams going far, but a lot of it, you know, like anything, depends on who they play. It depends on their matchup. So which kind of team do you think is a good matchup for Old Dominion and George Mason, and which kind of team is, say, a bad matchup? But if you have some examples of teams that, you know, fit the bill.
Certainly. Well, I did mention, I think if ODU moved forward to a team that is lacking inside, say, a BYU, a higher seed like a BYU, they could certainly do some damage to them. Also, any team that is not very disciplined, any team that doesn't like to have to work against the zone, a Missouri, even a Utah State, I think they would frustrate the heck out of them, and I think they probably win a 50-48 game there. And Mason, I think Mason can play with anyone. I think Mason can play different tempos. I think ODU could get in trouble if they had to play someone that really gets them up and down the floor. But I would certainly like to see Mason play one of these faltering Big East or Pac-10 or Big 12 schools. I think they'd eat him up in the first round.
Yeah, I don't want to see North Carolina in round two as a two seed. I'm with you there. I think that would not be a particularly good matchup for ODU, a team that could really push it on them. But the other thing about Mason, I mean, do you feel like Mason – I mean, I think ODU, people expected them to win the CAA. Obviously, it was the preseason pick. But do you think Mason is almost you know, a year ahead or overachieving for what they've done this year?
Well, I think it is a surprise, and I think that's why Larinaga won the CAA Coach of the Year, even though you could talk about the coach Mo at Hofstra doing perhaps a better job with a more messed up situation. But yeah. To get this team to 16-2, he has two stars, if you will, in Long and Pearson, and the freshman Hancock. I think they did gel maybe a year sooner than they thought. I think they surprised some people, but bottom line is they've beaten everyone they've played until VCU snuck up on them in the finals. And I think people, for once, instead of the 2006 Mason story, I think they might be a little under. When it comes bracket time, and people are going to shy away from them hearing all the Seth Davis saying, who have they played? So could work out for us in our brackets.
Who eventually, what seed do you think both these teams will get?
I think they're both 8 or 9s. I think ODU possibly could be a 7.
Wow, that would be something.
Well, it's unfortunate that George Mason didn't win the tournament, just because, not only because it would have made you guys, like, you know, you're big ODU fans, and I'm more of a Mason person, but also because Mason, they were talking about them rising to like a 5 or a 6. And you don't think ODU can rise that far? I mean, they have a similar record. They're hotter. They have bit some big wins recently. You know, there's no way ODU can rise above a 7.
Well, possible. I mean, if you look at what some of the sixes, I mean, some of the polls on some of the brackets still has Georgetown as a 6 or K-State as a 6. So to that point, I mean, Georgetown should be falling to about an 8 or 9 or a 10 now, even K-State with that terrible loss. I mean, I could see ODU maybe a 6. I mean, if they became a 5-12, then I'd start to get worried, and I'm sure Scott would too, about the 5-12 working against them.
Exactly. It'd be like reversal of fortunes.
That happened to Butler. I mean, that happened to Butler as they started to rise. You know, the 5-12 game became to bite them, the old reverse.
It's so funny. It's also so funny how if you're an 8 or 9 seed, it's worse than being a 7 or a 10 seed, because you have the 2 seed instead in the second round instead of the 1 seed. It's just it's so funny how this
although
all works.
This year you got to really ask yourself if there's that much difference between the ones and twos, though. So this year,
I guess
it
depends
be.
On the one or the two.
Yeah, exactly. This year, especially if you get that fourth one, whoever that ends up being, if it's Duke or if it's you know Notre Dame or whatever, and ODU, I don't think would be afraid to play Notre Dame again, although I think they're a better Notre Dame team this year.
And I think I would love to see ODU play Duke, because those Plumlee twins, the Tomax and Zaymot of the ACC, those guys kill me.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And they've got a third Plumlee coming to school, too, by the way.
Do they
the
really?
Yes, there is.
It's like it's the Pressy boys taking over Missouri. You got the Plumlees taking over Duke.
No doubt about it. Well, it should be fun. Looking forward to Sunday night. And again, I think we're all in agreement here, despite what some people would like to have happen. I don't think George Mason has to be sitting on pins and needles come Sunday night. I think they're going to be in. It's just a matter of, you know, what the seed is.
I think so, and I got fingers crossed for VCU, and maybe things can shake out exactly to form, but we know that never happens over the weekend, so.
Yeah.
I mean, VCU's profile does not look that bad compared to a Florida State or a Virginia Tech, or even I guess Colorado is probably safely in, but, you know, or Tennessee even.
Well, I mean, I hate to bash the ACC, but boy, the resumes of those bubble schools. Mm. I cannot believe that Clemson, Boston College, the winner today gets to be, you know, the winner today gets to be in, and those two resumes are very poor.
Yeah, I'm with you there. No doubt it's been a bad year for the ACC. Well, hey, TJ, glad to have you doing stuff for the website. Hopefully it'll be a lot of exciting things to talk about with the CAA through March. And we appreciate your time here on SB Nation Radio. And again, folks who haven't done it, go see George the blog right now. And thanks for your time here on SB Nation Radio.
Thanks for having me on, gentlemen.
All right, take care. There is TJ Doyle with us here on SB Nation Radio. We got people to thank. TJ, obviously, Adam Vingan, and, of course, Tariq El-Bashir from The Washington Post. And if you haven't done it, check us out on Twitter at SB Nation Radio. And what else? Oh, yeah, Facebook, SB Nation DC fan page. Hit the like button. Have you been doing that yet, Mike?
As many times as I can.
Okay, good.
I've got a lot of fake accounts.
All right, thanks to Othello for producing it. And again, thanks to all of our guests. We will be back at you next week talking about, of course, where everybody was selected and how they're matching up in the first and second rounds. We'll do it again next week. Scott Jackson and Mike Prada here on SB Nation Radio, 106.7 The Fan.